3. Marcus. His head throbbed. A dull, merciless ache had spread from his shoulders, up his neck, and across his skull to his temples, where it had then begun to squeeze. It was merciless, and it made it so very hard to think.
"Do you wish for me to send in men to quell the mob, sir?"
Felix asked, as they walked through the streets of Aracom. Like Galena, the buildings were made of stone, the entrances small and the streets narrow. It smelled like rain, rock, and piss. And other than a few dogs rummaging through trash, the streets were empty. Not that it would last.
No, let it burn itself out.
There will be casualties.
Some. But there will be more violence if they perceive us as standing in the way of their revenge. Give it an hour, then have patrols move into the city.
He turned his head back toward the towers of the God Circle, not needing to push his imagination too hard to picture what was happening to Urkhan's corpse.
The people did not receive the satisfaction they hoped for in that execution, and many will look for release in other pursuits.
Because Irini botched it.
Marcus shook his head, for the reason was far deeper than that.
Regardless of the reasons, our men are to keep the peace, not add to the violence.
Even though speaking made his injured throat ache, he continued to detail his orders, growing more specific by the second, despite the way Felix's jaw tightened, despite knowing that his friend's ears would be turning red beneath his helmet, the way they always did when he was angry. "Don't act until you have proof," Tariana had made him promise. But the fact of the matter was that either Felix or Titus had stabbed him in the back, which meant Marcus could trust neither of them.
"Anything else, sir?"
Felix's voice was stilted.
"Or may I go?"
"Go."
Not waiting to see if he listened, Marcus turned to Titus.
"Start the men with clearing the debris where we blasted the wall. Then get them to work on rebuilding. Tomorrow I want a call to employ masons and other skilled laborers to take over the repairs of all structures damaged in the battle. Be clear they will be paid."
"By whom?" Titus asked. "Our coffers grow thinner by the day."
"The goodwill will be worth the expense. Once the work is underway, I want you to."
As with Felix, he delved down into the minutiae, part of him wanting one of them to disobey him in some way, thus allowing him to act. But unlike Felix, Titus only nodded, saluting sharply before departing with his escort.
"I was about ready for you to give them instructions on how to wipe their own asses."
At Tariana's words, several of his men smirked, and Marcus gave them cold stares before turning to her.
"A change of regime is a delicate time for any nation. Better that I be specific in my orders. That way, if things go poorly, I'll have no one to blame but myself."
"How magnanimous of you."
She flipped the braids the wind had pushed into her face back over her shoulder, revealing the bruises on her cheeks, her split lip. Her right hand was pressed against her ribs, and though he knew they were only bruised, he also knew from experience how each breath hurt, the pain escapable only in sleep, which was an escape he couldn't afford to give her.
"I have a job for you."
"Oh."
She didn't look surprised.
"Do tell, Legatus."
Her voice dripped with sarcasm. But whereas once she'd have been mocking him, now her tone served to deceive everyone else, to hide a secret.
"I'll explain once we're in Urkhan's fortress."
Under the watchful eye of Gibson and his men, they made their way to the fortress at the center of Aracom. Like all of the buildings in the city, it did not exceed 2 stories. But what it lacked in height, it made up for in sprawl. Surrounded by a solid stone wall with only 1 gate, it was a maze of buildings his men were still in the process of searching, but at the moment, there was only 1 structure that concerned him. They ducked to enter the building, following Gibson through the narrow corridors lit by smoking torches. It felt more like walking through a series of caves than a structure built by the hands of men. The ceiling was so low that Marcus had to stoop as they walked, and he idly wondered how Servius was managing. Ahead, 2 of his men flanked a heavy door, which they opened at the sight of him, forced to press their backs against the walls in order to allow room to pass.
"I bloody well hate this place,"
Servius shouted as they entered.
"If you've any kindness in you, sir, don't ask me to stand. It would mean risking what brains I have left to these cursed ceilings."
"Consider yourself at ease while I give Tariana the tour." She said nothing, following him into the next chamber, which was heaped with gold and silver and gemstones. Chests of coins were stacked haphazardly against the wall, jewelry and silverware mixed in together with sculptures of ivory and bronze, the wealth beyond anything Margus had ever seen. And there were 6 more chambers of it, all of it covered with dust, stolen away and then forgotten. Tyriana cleared her throat.
You'd better not be asking me to swindle Erini and the other Erinoquian Imperators, Margus, because the answer is no.
I'm not. Leading her deeper into the treasury, he stopped only once they were out of earshot, pushing the door to the chamber shut. Dust puffed in his face and he coughed, knowing that he'd be risking one of his attacks if he stayed in here much longer. But he wanted to be alone with her.
What, then?
Her tone implied that she expected him to ask something of her that she didn't want to give, and Marcus's chest tightened. Would that ever stop? Could it?
I need you to put a total on this wealth, and I need it within the next 2 days.
And then, because he didn't want it to sound like an order he had no right to give her, he added, please. Tyriana's eyes widened, and she gave the room an appraising once over.
Margus.
It has to be done. We currently have 7 armies sitting outside of Aracom.
Gods, no wonder you need me to do this. You can't even count. There are 8 armies outside Aracom.
Despite himself, Margus laughed, catching hold of her waist and pulling her against him. She slid her arms around his neck, and for a heartbeat, he forgot about his headache, forgot about politics and traitors and blood.
My army doesn't concern me. It's the rest of them.
Tangling his fingers in her wet braids, he rested his cheek against hers, staring at a pile of golden cups, tasting the dust in the air.
The clans united for the sake of ridding themselves of Erkon, but now that he's dead, it's only a matter of time before they start fighting among themselves. If that happens, I'll either have to choose sides or force my own authority down on their heads, neither of which is appealing.
Don't fancy yourself the new ruler of Aracom.
Grimacing, he shook his head, then leaned back against the wall so he could meet her gaze.
No, nor am I interested in another battle on the heels of the one we just won. My men need a chance to breathe.
And he needed a chance to carve out a life for them in this place, while at the same time pretending he was still following the Senate's and Cassius's orders.
The clans are expecting to receive a share of the plunder, he continued. I'd like to give it to them, and have them on their way before they start trying to take what they feel they're owed from the people living in this city.
He had other reasons, too. Pressing reasons. But they weren't ones he dared to share.
There's nothing to take. Erkan and his men stripped this city clean as much as he did the rest of Erinoquia.
Letting go of her, Margus reached down to pick up a woven basket, a tin cup, a leather belt. Not treasure, but items that had had value to someone.
There is always something to take.
A knock sounded on the door, and Servius's voice echoed through.
The representatives from the clans are here.
Time was of the essence, but Margus still felt a flash of irritation at the interruption. Stolen moments, that was all they ever had.
Tell them to wait.
More secrets to tell me.
She tilted her head, midnight skin gleaming in the torchlight. Ocean waves rippled across her irises, the color a blue so dark and deep, he imagined himself drowning in them. Bruised or not, she was more beautiful than anything in the room, more beautiful than anyone he'd ever seen. And she'd chosen him. Bending his head, he kissed her gently, mindful of her injuries.
You are the secret. This, he kissed her again, is the secret.
Tyriana rolled her eyes.
You really need to get some sleep. A secret is something everyone doesn't know.
Reaching up, she touched his bruised throat.
This, everyone knows.
She was probably right. She was right, only he didn't want to admit it.
Is one thing for my men to suspect. Quite another for me to shove it in their faces.
Margus trailed off, struggling to find the words he wanted. This was untrodden territory for him, and he felt painfully ignorant. Not a feeling he was used to, and certainly not one he liked.
This, he finally said, can only happen behind closed doors.
We live in a tent,
she winked.
No doors.
Groaning in frustration, he leaned back against the wall, rubbing at his temples.
You drive me to madness.
You like it?
He did like it. He liked her. But his affection for her had already been used against him with near catastrophic effectiveness. Stomach hollow, he forced himself to meet her gaze.
Would you want your crew to know?
The waves rolling across her irises surged, and for a foolish heartbeat, he thought she might say yes. Then she looked away.
No, it wouldn't go over well.
That was likely an understatement.
As much as I might wish otherwise, my men talk. To one another, to civilians, to the sailors on my ships. And those are the sailors who supply your crew. So I think it's in both our best interests to keep the rumors in check.
Tariana nodded, but he noticed a slight quiver in her jaw, even these stolen moments dampened by circumstances. Reaching down into an open chest, he picked up a necklace that caught his eye, all sapphires and diamonds and gold. He fastened it around her neck, watching how the gems glittered across the delicate bones of her throat. Tariana looked down, then unfastened the necklace and handed it back to him.
That gold is steeped in blood. Pretty as it is, wearing it would be bad luck.
I doubt there's an ounce of gold on Wreath that hasn't known blood, one way or another.
He dropped the necklace back in the chest, knowing she was right, but also that she deserved more than he was giving her.
But blood or no, I need all of this valued. You'll have to stay here while it's done, but you'll be under constant guard, and Servius will be with you.
Opening the door, he led her back in the direction of the entrance. He nodded at the 7 Erinoquians, 4 men and 3 women, standing with Servius and Gibson. Switching to their language, he said,
"You're here to ensure the inventory of Urkhan's wealth is taken honestly and without bias. All will be searched upon departure from this room, and the punishment for theft will be the loss of a finger. Is this understood?"
They nodded, and he said,
"Good.
Tariana will be my representative, and given her expertise, hers will be the final word."
"Agreed."
Everyone nodded, but still he hesitated, searching his brain for a reason to remain, a reason not to leave her presence. But neither Tariana nor this task needed his involvement, whereas there were 100 other matters that did.
"I'll leave you to it," he said,
then left, without a backward glance.